Welcome to AdLib, the York Theatre Royal podcast, where we interview industry professionals and get an insight into the theatre world.
I'm Jessie.
And I'm Henry.
And we're back for a new season!
Woo! And we have so many exciting things coming up for you to listen to.
In this episode, we interview Alex Sumner-Hughes, the resident director of the musical Waitress in London's West End.
We recorded this several months ago on the floor of the Adelphi Theatre, surrounded by baking pies.
And we think that this should be mandatory for all theatres to follow suit, regardless of the show.
Definitely. Hope you enjoy. And now we're joined by Alexandra Sumner-Hughes, who is the resident director of Waitress, the new musical that's just opened on the West End. So welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
So would you mind just giving us a bit of background about how you came to this role?
Okay. It's not an unusual thing for a resident director to start off as an actor. So I was an actor for 11 years before I had children. And then I didn't want to do that thing of going around the country with a baby and, you know, packing a suitcase and never seeing your children. So I decided that I would teach. So I taught for a while at the Brit School, which was fantastic, and I met some great people there, and I enjoyed it a lot, but I really missed the industry. And previously, when I was an actor, I had done a bit of directing, I'd done a bit of assistant directing, and then just out of the blue, I got offered an interview for The Lion King to resident direct there.
Oh, wow.
And that was great.
Yeah.
And I got the job, and I spent 3.5 years on Lion King, and then I was out of work again. I went back to teaching. I did arts educational. I taught there. And then Charlie and the Chocolate Factory came up, and I got the job on that, and I did that for about 2.5 years. And since then, I've decided to keep working as a resident director, and this came up the end of Christmas. Mm-hmm. This Christmas just gone, which was great, and we went into rehearsal in January.
For anyone who doesn't know, what is a resident director?
Okay, so you can think of a resident director as a caretaker, really. So you work alongside the director during rehearsals. You learn everything about the show that you can. Not just where people move, but why people say what they say, why they think, how they think, you know. So you basically take on the role of director when the director has done their job. They go, and then you can keep the show running. So you keep the show running in terms of hopefully keeping the actors inspired to keep it fresh, but then you also have to rehearse the understudies, and then if it's a long-running show like Lion King or Charlie, you have to do cast change. So it depends how long the contracts are. Sometimes they're 6 months or sometimes they're 12 months, so you can end up constantly in rehearsal and auditions and cast change, which is, you know, interesting, and that's, you know, why I want to do it, but it does feel like you never get out of the rehearsal room, yeah.
So with something like musical theatre, I think there's not much room for changing things, are there? It's got to be
not really,
the same.
No.
So how do you go about keeping the cast inspired, and do you do workshops or...?
No, we... Because you're working with professional actors, mm-hmm. they kind of know the score.
Yeah.
So it's not like you have to spoon-feed them. I feel like the hardest job of a resident director is not the keeping the show fresh, because that, you know, most professional actors are good enough to do that. The hardest thing is making an incoming actor who's not played the role before, making them feel like all the ideas are their own.
Okay.
Because you want them to feel like they own it and that they're not just stepping into someone's shoes. Mm-hmm. However, you have to make them step into those shoes. So that for me is the essence of the job. It's making the incoming actor feel like they discovered it all for themselves for the first time, when in fact you just told them what to do.
So do you watch the show every night or as many nights as...?
I'm contracted to watch the show 3 times a week. On Lion King it was 6 times a week, 6 times out of 8, which was horrendous.
Wow.
And on Charlie it was 4, so this is 3, and that is brilliant.
Do you get to see subtle changes then? Like, obviously within the director's vision you can get to see how, or maybe one night they do it this way or another night they do it another way.
Yeah, definitely. Because theatre's a live event, you will find that audiences react in different ways, so actors will react in different ways. if they didn't, it would be pretty boring. Yeah. So, yeah, it does change from night to night. The thing that I have to do is I have to keep an eye on anything that permanently changes and then change it back.
Yeah, so if you noticed that, I don't know, someone was dropping a cup 6 times a week, would you then have to go in there and say, stop dropping the cup?
Yes, I would, okay. I mean, we've only been open a few weeks and nothing like that's happening now. The thing that will happen as well is that performances will grow. And sometimes it's a good thing and sometimes it's a bad thing. So it's great when it's a good thing because it's encouraging and it's fresh and you can talk about how exciting that is with the actor. But if it's not, if it's grown and you don't like it, that's a tricky conversation, really tricky, because you're not the director. You know, you are standing in for the director. So you have to convince them that you're right, and that can be difficult.
And do you, are there note sessions, like, scheduled, or is it just as and when?
As and when, as and when needed, yeah. If I felt like, in 6 months' time, if I felt like the show was in a bad place, I would call an actual note session. But at the moment, I watch several shows, and then I just pop round the dressing rooms and give notes.
So you've only just opened, is it two or three weeks?
Yeah, March the 7th we opened.
Can you give us sort of a brief breakdown of what has happened over those
what stage do you join the process, and kind of what is your role leading up to a show opening?
Oh, okay. So I was really, really happy to come in at the beginning of the process with this. That was my dream, actually, because with Lion King and Charlie, I joined an already working company. So... And that's really hard because you miss out on all the things that the director tells the actors, and you only get it second or third, or in Lion King's case, fifth hand, you know? So you got all these stories passed on, which are, you know, it's like Chinese whispers. You don't actually know if they're what the director originally said. So joining at the beginning of the process with Waitress was absolutely brilliant. And I was there from day one of rehearsal, and I basically shadowed the director all the way through until opening night, and then she left and I took over.
How long were rehearsals?
Really quick on this one. Mm-hmm. I think we only had 5 weeks before we went into previews.
Wow.
So we were rehearsing for 4 weeks and teching for the fifth week, and then we went in front of the public. So it was very, very quick. Something like Charlie had like 12 weeks before it went in front of the public. Probably Lion King too. And it's not that it's a smaller show or anything. In fact, it's technically very demanding. Mm-hmm. So it was a slog for everyone and quite scary.
When the cast changes, how long is that rehearsal period?
You tell me. I don't know.
Oh, right,
we don't know yet. Okay. The different thing with this company is that they are quite into the idea of changing the lead actors every 3-6 months instead of every year. So I will. This is why I know that me and the rest of the creative team are going to be in rehearsal all the time because I feel like they will change an actor, and then we'll just get that person in, and then they'll change another actor, and we'll get that person done, and then they'll change another actor. So it's not going to be like once a year like it is on other shows, which is tough.
Yeah, different.
Yeah.
Do you find it challenging to keep yourself inspired when, say, if you've got the prospect of you've just finished getting an actor ready for the show they're going, and then you've got to start again with a new actor? Can that be challenging to kind of keep that momentum?
It can. What makes it interesting are the actors, though. So whenever you work with a new actor on the same material, it's always interesting. If you didn't do that, if you were just watching the show for 6 months, that would be dull, I think. But the great thing with only three shows a week is that I can actually go away, have a life, come back and pretend it's all new again.
Yeah.
You know, whereas on Lion King, it was just like a treadmill. and hard, really hard to see things for after a while. It's like, you know, seeing the wood for the trees. It's very difficult to spot stuff. But then I think what you can do to keep yourself fresh is one night you can watch just for the lighting. One night you can watch just one particular character. You know, so you can change how you watch the show. Sometimes I'll just listen, you know. And sometimes I'll sit in the company office with a script and I'll check that the text is correct.
I was going to say, where do you watch it from?
I watch it from the house.
Do you have your special reserve seat?
No, not at all. No, I tend to just wander around and then as soon as it goes dark, I just slip into a seat that's not...
You could aim to watch it from every seat.
I could, from every seat.
It would take a while.
I love watching from the boxes because you're really close to the action. Plus, you can sort of see into the wing a bit, so you can get a real sense of the mechanics of the show.
Yeah. Mm. So when you said you were an actor before you were a resident director, did you do musical theatre? What kind of acting did you do?
I did. I started off as Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz.
Wow.
That was my first job. And then by the time I left, I was really lucky. I was working for the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Amazing.
So I did a mixture of musicals and plays.
Yeah.
And I think I preferred musicals. Even when I was at the RSC, I was thinking, why don't they just burst into song at this point? It would be so good. So, yeah, I prefer musicals.
Yeah, okay, lovely.
Has that the background in acting helped you when sort of working with actors?
It's tricky because what you don't want to do is you don't want to start acting for them.
Yeah.
And I think when I first started working, I was guilty of that. It's what's called giving a line reading.
Mm.
Because you know what's in your head, and the quickest way to get it out there is to act them. It.
Mm.
And, you know, actors hate that, quite rightly.
Yeah.
So the skill is in learning how to express in words what you're feeling about the way that they should do that line. Mm. I'm getting better at that.
So let's talk a bit about Waitress now, the actual show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to see it last night. Absolutely adored it. Do you have any sort of favourite moments that you watch out for each time you watch it? Or does that change as like you get to see it develop further?
I absolutely love the comedy in it. The comedy makes me chuckle even now, and I've seen it so many times. I also really love the bus stop scene. I keep saying this, it reminds me of La La Land, and the vista behind them, the lighting, and then the double bass being wheeled on and them singing. It's sublime. Also, Soft Place to Land is so exquisitely choreographed. It makes me... That was the thing that made me want to do the job, actually, because my agent said, do you want to go up for Waitress? I didn't really know about it.
Okay.
So I looked on YouTube and there was an illegal kind of recording. And the first thing I saw was Soft Place to Land. I thought, oh, that's beautiful.
Stunning.
I want to work on that. Yeah.
How is it working with a cast that have to use real ingredients on stage?
Yeah, did you rehearse?
Yeah,
we rehearse
with real ingredients, yeah.
The whole way?
All of us hate it because it's just such a waste, you know?
What happens to the pies?
Well, they all get thrown away. It's terrible. All the pastry, all the sugar, all the blackberries,
I did notice that the eggs aren't real. I did spot that.
You know, they're apricots in washing up liquid.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
I know.
So do you... I mean, I don't know if you've got any... Obviously, you're not using eggs, but if you had a vegan cast or...
Yeah, I don't know what they would say about that, really. None of us like it, though. We all think it's a terrible waste.
Didn't you go out and sort of give pies out to people?
Well, we don't use that many real pies.
No.
A lot of it's completely fake.
Okay.
I mean, they're beautifully made. The props department did an incredible job on this. So they look exquisite. The only pies that are real, there are a few slices that get given to like Old Joe or given to the ensemble, and they have to actually eat.
Oh, they must get
so I know. But they've got used to taking tiny little chunks, so and then those bits go in the bin. Yeah.
Are you used to the smell of apple pie? Because one of the lovely things about this show is that backstage somewhere there's about three or four pies that are just warmed in an oven, so the theatre smells of apple pie, and actually there's one just over there.
Yeah, that's right. There's an oven.
Night.
Yeah.
So everything smells.
I know.
It's
hilarious. The company manager on this show, one of his jobs is he has to come and put the pies on to bake, which you know is really out of his remit as a company manager. But I do like it actually. I like it. It makes me feel cozy and warm.
Not quite sick of it.
Not sick of it at all. No.
It's just such a nice little touch for this show.
Yeah.
As soon as you walk in, it's like.
Yeah.
I'm at home already.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I noticed they're M&S who do the pies, isn't it? So who would have made that decision? Would that have been a producer?
Yes, yeah. A producer would make that decision. I guess it would be a financial one. Mm-hmm. And also maybe M&S cut a deal so that they can get promoted in the programme.
Well, exactly. They want a slice of the cut.
Yeah, they want a slice of the cut. Yeah. I don't know how those things work, but it would have been a producer, sorting that out.
So with Waitress, how do you, we were just talking as we were coming up about the role of bringing in understudies and alternates for characters.
Mm.
Is that something that you find challenging, trying to have someone that can fill in a role that is going to be hopefully as good as sort of the top billed actor?
The only challenging thing about it, I would say, is that you don't have as much time as the real principals get. So even they didn't have that much time, but at least they had 4 full weeks of rehearsal before the technical. If you think, so that's what, so working 6-7 hours, 6 days a week, these understudies I'm working with at the moment get 4 hours, 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And only 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a ridiculously short amount of time to get them ready. I suppose it's easier for them in a sense because they've seen they've seen it in rehearsal, they've seen how it gets put together, so they have a better idea. Whereas the principals are working with no knowledge whatsoever, so it's coming very fresh to them. So I guess that's why you don't need as much time. But I feel on this that we should have had more time. Yeah, that's the challenge. That's the only challenge. It's lovely working with other people. You know, they're all very talented.
Mm-hmm. And how many understudies do you have?
We have we have two covers for each principal role.
So will they come in and warm up with the cast every night and be here, or is it on a call basis?
They are on stage every night.
Oh,
they
right.
are the ensemble.
So they're the ensemble.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you have to.
Yeah.
So if a principal goes off,
mm-hmm.
you don't get someone to fill in the.
You do.
Role.
You have what's called a swing.
You have a swing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have 4 swings. One of whom is the dance captain.
Okay.
So we have 2 ladies and 2 men. So if an ensemble goes off, the swing goes in, or if an ensemble is promoted to playing the part, the swing goes in. So
and
there's always, you know.
And do they warm up every night and they're here?
Yeah. Oh, they're here.
Yeah.
They're here. They warm up with the company. They quite often watch the show because they're watching because they have to cover all the tracks that the ensemble do. So, you know, 3 or 4 men, 3 or 4 women. You know, it's a really a swing's job is incredible. I don't have the brain for it at all. It's you need to be good at maths, I think, to be a swing.
And to fill in at a moment's notice as well. Like you could be halfway through a show and it's like you're on.
Yeah.
Pick it up, carry on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an incredible job they do.
Have you had any nightmare stories about having to swap a character halfway through?
Not halfway through, no. I did actually do that myself once when I was acting.
Did you?
Yeah, I was playing Fontaine, and it's this sort of understudy's dream, really, because the lady went on who was playing Fontaine. She went on, she did her first scene, and she came off and she twisted her foot. And I was coming down the stairs in my kind of ensemble as they were sort of carrying her up the stairs, you know. So she kind of was carried past me, and I thought, okay, I'm on then.
Wow, so how long did you have?
I had about 6 minutes to get into costume, get on stage, and sing.
Did anyone notice?
Of course they did. Yeah, yeah. But that's the weird thing. When it's in the middle of a show like that, they don't stop the show and say, ladies and gentlemen, due to a tragic accident, we're replacing the part. We don't do that. So I felt really bad, actually, because she'd already done all the hard work. She'd already sung I Dreamed a Dream.
Oh.
But then I had to go on and do the rest of her show and take her curtain call. I felt really bad.
That's great, though. So once you'd... done your Fontaine bits, you didn't then go back on again as ensemble?
No. I mean, the Fontaine in Les Mis actually does act too as a boy, as an urchin. I don't know if you know that.
No,
she's it's Patti Lupone originated the role, and she got bored in the dressing room during Act Two, so she said she wanted to be on the barricade, so they created a part. And so every Fontaine cover has had to, or everyone who's played Fontaine has had to play that boy on the barricade.
So what other shows have you done?
My favourite show is Little Shop of Horrors. I love that show.
Oh, that's such a great show.
Yeah, I did that twice. I did that in Germany and over here. what other shows? Oh, I don't know. Threepenny Opera, that's a great piece.
Love that one.
Really good fun, Chorus of Disapproval by Alan Ayckbourn. That's really, really good fun. Yeah, I like doing comedies.
Yeah.
That's why I like the comedy in this show. Mm.
Jack McBrayer is very funny in this
he
show.
He is, yeah,
me?
Yeah.
I just loved it.
Good. He was so much fun in rehearsal.
I can imagine he was quite a character.
He just, yeah, he just cracked the ensemble up the whole time. The problem with that now is that they just want to watch him on stage and they can't, you know. So.
Is it quite, because the cast is relatively small for a major West End show, is there quite an ensemble feel?
Very much, yeah. Yeah.
It's not with the leads, with
there
the,
is
with the
no, exactly, there's none of that. It's lovely. They're all tremendous friends with each other. We have a great warm-up every evening. The company manager tells jokes, everyone laughs. It's good fun. It's a really, really nice atmosphere.
That's what you want it to be like. That's what you hope when you kind of... Because a lot of them are on, like, social media and things like that. You want to kind of... You want to see these people having a good time and enjoying what
And it's not always the case.
Yeah, you know, no,
there can be some awful situations, but so far, so good with this one.
You mentioned earlier about having not had time to prepare the understudies. Was there, say, a risk, I don't know, if a lead actor was tripped and broke their leg, hopefully not, on, say, the night after opening night, was there a risk that you wouldn't have someone ready?
Yeah.
Then?
Yeah. If it had happened during a show, we would have had to have cancelled the rest of the show. The fact that we knew that Laura was going to go off...
Yeah, because you knew.
We had that kind of overnight notice, and then we came in and rehearsed. Mm. And Olivia did an incredible job with just 4 hours rehearsal. She went on and was pretty much perfect.
Do you have to kind of keep an eye on actors' well-being then to be prepared for these?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, and they to be fair, they should keep you in touch with how they are as well. They always have to on a matinee day. If they're going to be ill, they have to phone by 11 o'clock in the morning if they know that they're not going to make the show. And that gives us a bit of warning. Yeah. And then on an evening show, they have to let us know by 4 o'clock if they think they're going to be off. In fact, they have to make
You've
the call themselves.
Call
We've not had a phone call, no. So I think we're okay for tonight. We've got full cast,
So is it your job to do the warm-ups?
No, the dance captain does that.
Right, okay.
And the musical director as well. So they sing first and then the dance captain warms them up. I don't really have to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, day-to-day, you come in, watch the show.
Watch the show. Day-to-day, I'm rehearsing covers.
Yeah.
Watch the show 3 times a week. I have to do a lot of planning, scheduling. We have a schedule session every Wednesday where we discuss next week's work. In terms of in terms of running the show, I'm quite hands off. You know, I'm just there to note it.
And you would stay for the show as long as you wanted to. So, resident directors, do they tend to change often? Or?
They tend to get their boots under the table and not leave. Yeah. I left Lion King because it was time to go. I'd been there 3.5 years and that, you know, 6 shows a week. It was time to go. Charlie, I left because the show closed, so we all had to leave. This one, I will stay as long as they'll have me.
What was it like working with children on Charlie?
The best, just the best. I have to say, I love working with kids. It's my one regret that we've only got one little tiny tot in this show, and she doesn't take much work, really.
The one last night was adorable.
Yeah,
There was just sort of a ripple of R's across the
audience.
That
kind of happens, we've got two of them, and it happens the same for both of them. It's just suddenly you see a pretty little 4-year-old, and it's... but no, I love working with kids. They are fascinating in their imagination, so you can just they're so giving as well. They have the ones that you hire, they have no ego. You quite often you'll audition kids, you've got terrible egos and you just know not to touch them in the barge pole, but the kids that we hired on Charlie were incredibly gifted without knowing that they were. And so you've got the pleasure of working with them and just encouraging and just finding out what they're capable of, encouraging great things from them. And it's so sad when they have to go because
they
get too old, they grow. oh, it's just so upsetting. It's upsetting for them as well. I mean, on the one hand, you're giving them this incredible gift, but I do wonder how it is to go back to school after that.
Oh.
You know, particularly for the 10-year-olds to go back to school and have to think about moving to big school, and they've left this incredibly exciting world behind. I think that's really sad.
And when you give notes to children, what are your expectations? Do they have to be...
The expectation is really high.
Yeah.
You don't hire them if they don't have an incredible talent.
Mm.
And then working with that talent, you work with them like you do an adult.
Mm.
You can't work with them for more than 5 hours a day, but you certainly demand exactly the same of them as you demand from an adult actor. But you try and make it fun.
Yeah.
So that they don't cry all the time. They do cry a lot, but
I'm sure adult actors do that as well.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, just in different ways. Little strops.
So if someone was to come and see Waitress, what would you like them to take away from the show?
I would like them to feel that they had been brilliantly entertained, that they had been moved by the story. We get an awful lot of people writing to us, because there are little slips that you can write and message to the cast on. And we get an awful lot of people who say, thank you so much for this story. It has given me the strength to get out of a relationship that I knew I should, but have stayed in for too long. So that's a wonderful thing. You know, I mean, obviously... I'm not saying that everybody who comes to see the show has got problems. But it's interesting that it has that effect on some people. But I just hope that they... And I know they do, because they all stand at the end. You know, it's always a standing ovation at the end of every show. I know that they've had a really good time. And that's all theatre's there to do, you know, give you a really good time. And if it can give you any more than that, that's a bonus. But, yeah, it's a good, fun, feel-good... show.
Yeah, one thing I've seen is that this is the first show that was on Broadway and West End to have a female-led creative team.
Mm.
And one thing I noticed in the audience was there was a lot of mother and daughters coming to see the show, which seems so important to have this kind of representation on such a big stage.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Diane Paulus, the director, she said, "Well, we didn't intend to set out to have an all-female creative team. It's just that." When we were hiring people, the best people happened to be women.
Yeah.
And then we suddenly looked around the room one day and said, oh, my goodness, everyone's a woman.
Yeah.
So it wasn't an intentional thing from the start. But I think it is a very female-orientated piece. It's lovely when men come to see it and also enjoy it. You see a lot of couples, actually.
Yeah.
But it is. It's a great... piece to come,
it's got some
know,
really
with...
strong female characters, which is often, it's not all guy meets girl kind
it's
happily ever after. It's not that story.
But it isn't that. I mean, I won't give away the ending, but it certainly isn't that, what you'd expect. And actually the relationships that come out the strongest in the piece are between the three women. Those are the most important relationships in the show. Although the male characters are well written and are interesting and useful to the plot, actually it's about the women.
Yeah.
So if you had to pick one absolute favourite thing about your job, what would that be?
Just being paid to be in a theatre.
Yeah.
I think it's an incredible privilege to be in a theatre. There are so many people trying to do theatre, trying to work as actors, trying to work as directors. And I don't take it for granted at all that I'm in the West End. And I feel really lucky.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just walking through the stage door is a pretty good moment every day.
Yeah. And the amount of people who do theatre as a hobby, and it's just, you know, their whole life, and they're not getting paid, and they're doing it for fun. It's amazing that some people do get the pleasure of it being there.
I know. And I think... I'm not sure that many people get used to it, because there's terrible unemployment in this industry, as I'm sure you know. So I think all of us feel lucky, you know? I mean, there are people going from... a few in the cast have gone from job to job to job, but most of us, you know, we we're sensible of what a privilege it is.
And finally,
yeah.
Do you have any advice for someone who would want to be a resident director or, you know, acting in general? Or
I think a resident director generally comes out of being an actor.
Yeah.
I don't think if you want to be a director, I think you're going to want to do your own work. And I mean, I've not done as much of my own work as I'd like to do. But that's a lot of that is to do with, you know, finances and you know, opportunities. So I've worked on these big shows because it's been useful to me as an income and because I'm interested in it. But I wouldn't say that a resident director, if you wanted to be a director, I wouldn't say that this is the ideal route. I think you should do your own work. But if you want to take care of West End shows, then I think you need to come up through the acting route. That might be utter rubbish. I don't know. I'll have to listen back and decide whether I think that's rubbish.
I found that most people we talk to, there isn't a straight path.
No.
You know, you end up doing what you're doing for lots of different reasons.
Yeah, I mean, actually what I didn't say to you but at the beginning is when I was acting and I couldn't get a job, I formed a theatre company. And it was because of forming that theatre company and putting shows on that I got my first resident director job, which was actually a tour of Aspects of Love. That was so long ago now, I'd kind of forgotten it. While I was being an actor, I was still doing little bits of kind of directing, resident directing. And then that's why, you know, I was able to get into Lion King. But, as you say, you fall into it. I don't think there's an actual career path for it. It's luck. A lot of it's luck.
So you don't find resident directors then going on to, you know, be the director of Waitress?
Of your own show, yes. Yeah. I mean, yes, actually you do.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some very interesting male directors who worked on Oliver, worked on My Fair Lady, who have gone on to create their own work as a director. So yes, you do. I'm just not at that stage yet, I don't think. And also, again, it's luck, you know. It's who you know, and being in a financial position that you can take a risk.
Okay.
You know, if you don't, if you've got to earn money because you've got a family, then you're not gonna take that risk and do something on the fringe that's your own work, no matter how passionate you are. Yeah, it's a combination of those things, really.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Really, you're welcome.
Thank you for giving up time in between rehearsals and shows and whatnot.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alex, for finding some time in your hectic rehearsal schedule to talk to us.
Waitress has just announced that Lucy Jones and Ashley Roberts will be joining the cast at the end of June, so definitely go get your tickets.
Join us next time for more stories, advice and insights.
If you enjoyed the podcast, then as always, please give us a nice review and tell your friends and family where to find us.
See you soon.
Bye.